other people in my graduating class had things lined up, had other jobs ready for them, and I felt like I was falling behind. It didn't really occur to me that everybody's path starts at a different time. It's never too late.
Welcome to Learning from Experience, a podcast for college students and recent grads who want to hear directly from alumni and how they've adjusted their lives post-graduation, including personal stories of success, career readiness, and tips for navigating the real world. Created by the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences at Arizona State University. I'm your host, Megan Finnerty, and today I'm talking with Brandon Saunders, who's a successful writer who has worked in many mediums, including writing for the gaming industry. Hi, how are you?
Great. How are you today, Megan?
Good. I'm so excited to have you on. Just tell me a little bit more about you and your ASU experience.
Thank you for having me, Megan. My name is Brandon Saunders. I graduated from ASU's Film and Media Studies program back in 2013. Now I'm a freelance writer and proofreader. You can find some of my prose over in Decoded Pride. You have my video game work in mobile games like Lovestruck and Whispers. And I also have some bylines at publications like The Mary Sue and Huffington Post.
Well, I would like to take us all the way back to almost 10 years ago now, when you were graduating college. And I think a big part of the college journey is, you know, making it to the finish line, making it to graduation. But then what do you do when you get there? So can you tell me a little bit about your experience? What do you remember? Graduation week, graduation day, graduation season. What were you thinking as you were looking at your career in becoming a writer?
Back when I graduated, I had been working at Starbucks over on Mill Avenue in Tempe. I don't even remember how long it had been. It had been a while, but that was a lot of where a lot of my focus was. And leading up to everything, I was just thinking, okay, finish up all of my final essays, get all my grades in, get everything done well, and just make it. And otherwise, it was just, okay, when's my next shift? When am I doing this? Is this going to be my life forever? And so by the time I actually got to the ceremony, I was kind of scared, excited, but also very, very nervous about it because I didn't know what was going to come next. I didn't know what my next steps would be. When I was working at Starbucks, I didn't really have anything lined up afterward. I knew people who were moving out of state or getting ready to move out of state, some just to move back home because they'd come to Arizona for ASU. Other people were getting jobs and just seeing all of that was intimidating. I couldn't personally afford to do an internship, especially something that I had to move out of state for. So I did what I could to keep paying my rent, especially at Starbucks, and then eventually going to other kind of retail jobs like Sprint and such. But it was truly scary. I was focusing just making that rent, making my money, making sure I can afford to actually live, even with having this diploma coming up, having this ceremony that I'm going to be super excited for. But all of the positions that I could find required a ton of experience, even for entry level things. And so I wasn't sure how I was going to get started or what I needed to do to be able to even be in a position to try to move, let alone moving to a different state with somebody I know or on my own or anything. It was just a big open kind of hole in my brain at that point.
Yeah, like a big question mark. What is next? And what you talk about when you're sitting in those graduation ceremonies, you're next to all the other people in the same majors as you. And some of them have jobs and some of them, right, had those internships because they were in a different spot, maybe financially. And I remember me looking around being like, oh, everybody already has something. And that was scary. Did you find yourself in the same position that I was in of comparing yourself to your other classmates?
Oh, absolutely. I would see people getting ready to go on their internships or already having done internships. And so when I hit senior year and I'd heard people like, oh yeah, I just got back from California and I was working at Fox. I was working at ABC. I was working on this movie. I was working on something else. And I'm sitting there thinking, I was working at Starbucks. How did you guys find time to do all of this sort of thing? Like, why didn't I get to do that? How do I get to do that? And so kind of looking at everybody and comparing myself, I just felt like I wasn't not even ready, but I just wasn't able to do something. I didn't feel like it was maybe part of my path that I was going to be able to go on. But I think that's one of the biggest traps you can fall into is comparing yourself to others, especially people within your graduating class. And I know saying that, just saying, well, don't compare yourself, that's an easy thing to do. And it's hard to actually internalize it, but it genuinely is something that's really, really important. Everybody has their own way of getting through their career and starting their career. And every little bit of experience that you can get will count for something, even if it seems unrelated. So for me personally, it was really easy to underestimate how formative working even at Starbucks was.
I'm so excited to share your story because I feel like many other students coming up, hopefully listening to this podcast, might be in the similar boat. They might be sitting at graduation saying, I have nothing lined up. I'm a little scared, but I know that I've worked really hard and I know that I've learned some skills that aren't necessarily related perfectly on paper to the career that I want to have, but I'm a great worker. And you're a great example of that. And what you were just talking about with your experience of Starbucks and how that was very formative for you. Can you talk to me a little bit about what your career has been like since then? Because you have found success and you are now working as a writer, which is what you wanted all along.
While I was still working at all of those jobs, whether it was Starbucks or Sprint, I had a short stint as a leasing consultant in an apartment complex. I worked at like Uber's leasing division as a support agent for a little while. During all of that, I kept working on my writing, just on the side, whether it was writing short stories, whether it was taking community college classes, just to keep me in the writing space within my brain. Just trying to make sure I'm able to continue improving, even if it's not part of my career path. And then after a while, I was able, thanks to a friend, to get a job as a proofreader at a place called Keyword Studios International, which is within the video game space. And I thought that that would be a really great way to, even though proofreading isn't the same as writing, it's not fiction, to kind of start making my way into that. Into more writing as a career itself. And after a little while of there, I started putting in more applications to various places, whatever I could find. And honestly, at the time, I hadn't even really thought about writing video games as a way I could make a living. I knew that it was a thing that could happen, but I didn't know how to start. And so when I was putting in applications, I just kind of threw in anything that I could find. And I eventually managed to, frankly, get lucky and get an interview with a company called Voltage that made mobile games with interactive storylines. And that's when I was able to start really writing and seeing my work published in an actual game.
So I want to go back to the point where you mentioned realizing that video game writing could be a possible career. I want to know when that happened for you, and was it something that your education helped you find?
I'd always liked playing video games, and I knew that writing was a thing that you needed to do when you're making a video game, because you have things like Super Mario or Tetris where it's about the gameplay. It's about making the little guy do the jumpy thing and having fun with it. But then there are other games that are more story focused, that have huge sprawling narratives with side quests to do and all this sort of dialogue and plot and everything. And I viewed those kind of as interactive novels just about, but it didn't really click in my brain for a long time that that was a career choice that could be made. But after a while with the film and media studies program, I learned some screenwriting. I learned how to look through the styles and genres and see the points of comparison, see what's similar, see what's different between horror and fantasy, for instance. And I think there wasn't a specific moment that really clicked for me where I realized, oh, I could do this. But I think just repeatedly seeing people's different paths that they've taken from the film and media studies program kind of opened me up to realizing, wait, there are other ways that I could do this than just writing scripts for movies or writing scripts for TV.
So this podcast is called Learning from Experience. I would really love to know, what have you learned from experience And what advice do you have through that?
I think one of the biggest things that I've learned from work and meeting new people, it's don't be afraid to lean on people. And a lot of the times when people say that, you think emotionally, and that's definitely true. But also when it comes to professional development, you never really know who might know somebody or who has a job opening in their company or knows somebody who knows somebody, anything like that. And even if what comes your way isn't strictly related to the field that you want to be in, it doesn't mean you're going to be locked out of your career forever. People say everybody has their own path. And that sounds kind of cliche. I get it, especially when you're at the very end of your college undergraduate, you know, tenure, and you're the world's your oyster kind of thing. And it's easy to roll your eyes at that kind of thought, but it's really true. Everything that you do is going to contribute to what you're going to embark on as part of your career journey. Whether you're learning about workplace norms or developing yourself, whether it's learning to, in my case, write better, or learning how to be better with interpersonal skills, anything like that, or just getting more experience with life, everything is going to help, especially when it comes to people. You hear the word networking a lot. And to me, it was always a very scary thing because I'm like, I'm kind of awkward in person. I like to think it's charming, but I don't know exactly if everybody agrees with that. I don't know if I'm going to stand out from the crowd. And I think in this day and age, it's easy to forget that networking can include social media, whether it's a Facebook group or a Discord server or anything like that. And it can be as easy as just keeping up with somebody. And not every connection you make is going to turn into something, which I think is another thing that's easy to lose track of. But everything you do, whether you meet a class speaker where ASU brings in somebody that's had a successful career, whether you have a regular customer at a retail job or you meet a new coworker or something, it could turn into something. It might not, but it's all going to be important. And you don't have to have these deep, crazy emotional, you know, connections to do networking. It can be a group of people that you just chat with every once in a while, and that can help with things. And I think also a lot of us are told to make your passion into your career, to find a way to make something you enjoy lucrative, and you'll never work a day in your life. And I think that can really truly be great, but it kind of misses that there are always going to be pros and cons. So even as a writer, there are days where I might get a contract or I might be working on something and thinking, I really don't want to do this today. This is really hard. My brain just isn't putting out what I want it to. And that's okay. There's an adjustment period. And I think a lot of that chase your passion kind of energy forgets about that a little bit.
Right.
But I think also you don't necessarily have to work with your passion. If you can find something that you can live with to support yourself, something that you still enjoy, that's wonderful because it'll give you hopefully time to still pursue your passion. And whether your passion is going to be something that lets you make money or not, at least having a base where you can support yourself and still do everything else is going to be huge.
That's a part of your story that really stood out to me that I really resonated with was when you were working those other, I'm going to call them odd jobs, but when you were working those other odd jobs, that's how you were making money. That's how you were supporting yourself because you needed to live, but you were still writing in your free time. You were still taking other classes to just make your writing better because it's what you loved, even though it wasn't paying the bills. And that's where I think when you really have a passion, don't give it up just because you're not making money at it. You know, just find another way to support yourself and keep doing it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There would be days where I would have a shift, you know, 3 p.m. at Starbucks, and I'd go in at 1 and just sit there with a latte or something and just work on a novel or a short story, or even just try to outline something, just get something done because it's part of me. It's what I want to do.
Well, now at the spot that you are in your life, when we look back at those kids sitting in a graduation seat, wondering what am I going to do? What would you tell younger you, knowing now what you know?
It's going to be okay. I know that's never a guarantee, but you're not necessarily going to find a career immediately. You're not going to find your way right off the bat. And that's fine. It truly is going to be okay. You will find a way to make it work. And even if your path diverges from what you think is going to happen, even if you don't end up being a, you know, major career writer, like I thought I was going to be a video game reviewer for the longest time, and that didn't happen. I didn't want it to happen by the end of everything, but it's going to be okay. You will find something. And every step of the way is going to teach you something about yourself and help you center yourself and figure out who you are. And that's going to help.
I really enjoyed your story, Brandon. Thank you so much for coming on. You can connect with Brandon in a couple different ways. He talked about networking. You could work on making that connection with him. I have his email, which is going to be brandonsaunderswrites@gmail.com. Also on Twitter, which is @BrandoBoySP. And then also Brandon is on LinkedIn and you can find him there as well.
Thank you so much for having me on, Megan. It was great chatting with you and I hope this can help people. If you're listening, feel free to reach out with any of the methods that Megan mentioned. I'd be more than happy to chat with you and good luck.
To hear more alumni advice, head to our episode page wherever you listen to podcasts or check out the college's YouTube channel. Visit thecollege.asu.edu/LFE podcast.